Greetings this morning in Jesus' name. The one that personally said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. So this morning through Jesus, we want to come to the Father. Thank you for your prayers. And I ask that you would continue praying that the Lord would speak to us through his word. As he already has, I consider it a privilege and a blessing to be with you this morning here in the house of God. I'd like to start this morning with a question. What are you doing with truth? The title of the message is, What Are You Doing With Truth? What you do with truth does not change truth. What you do with truth changes you. And Brother Brian had no idea that I also had studied on the life of Stephen. But before we get in there, there's some absolutes that we believe that don't change by what you think of that, how you perceive it and what you think of it. And they're often called the law of gravity. You know, for you young boys and girls, if you're pedaling your bike on a level spot and you stop for a period of time, what happens? You'll fall over. It's the law of gravity. When I choose to step off of a roof and the ladder isn't there, I go down. And if I try to be positive about it and wish I wouldn't, it doesn't change the situation. I go down. There is what we call the law of sowing and reaping. You can't seed wild oats and harvest wheat. And so it is with truth. What are you doing with truth? And this morning, the Sunday school opening was on why Jesus came. And in this past season, I had to think of that is when the wise men were seeking truth. They didn't have a complete understanding of what they were looking for. They started seeking truth. And as they sought truth, the star led them. And they stopped at Herod's place. Or at Jerusalem there. They didn't understand. They didn't have a complete understanding. But as they sought for truth, they found it. Herod was looking for truth and he couldn't find it. It was even kept from him. So if you have, more shall be given. If you don't have, even that which you have will be taken away. So what we do with truth doesn't change truth. It will always be truth. Pilate had truth right in front of him. He had the full embodiment of truth. God's word is truth. And keep in mind, for you as school children, when you have a test in your lessons at school, is it a surprise to you when there's a question in there, is there questions in your test that you had never studied? Is there? Often you have questions that you had studied before earlier, right? It's not a surprise. That's how the Word of God is going to have the final judge. God's going to use this, the Word of God, to judge at the Great Judgment Day. There's not going to be some other curriculum or some other book. You know, it says when the books were open, it refers to the book of life and the other book. And I think that is the word of God. The word of God is the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 36, there was this king by the name of Jehoiakim, and he was in his winter house. And the fireplace was going, and he was warming himself. And Jehuda was reading Jeremiah's words to him. And as he was reading the scroll, he would read for a while Jeremiah's words. And after he read about two or three pages, Jehoiakim took his pocket knife and tore it out and pitched it in the fire. Till it was all gone, till it was depleted. Did it change the truth? Not one tittle, not one dot, not one bit. What he did with that, it was rewritten, it was written again, and there was more punishment, more added to it. And we cannot add or take away to truth. We shouldn't. We daren't. He burned it, but it didn't change it. And as I was thinking of another character, I'd like to use a few characters in the Old Testament, also look at a few in the New, of how they responded to truth. And I wanted to notice the one in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was preaching to this group, and it said, like it was brought forth, he was full of wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. But the people stirred up the council. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. They came and caught him and brought him to the council to set up false witnesses. But he continued preaching the truth. He addressed them as stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. He says, "Why did you resist the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "You received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They ran upon him, cast him out, and stoned him. Now, friends, that's dramatic. That would never happen today, does it? I'm asking us this morning, does it? When I'm cut to the heart, what's the first thing I do? I gnash on them. Do I lash out with my tongue? Do I turn up the music, plug my ears with earbuds? And it says they ran on him, cast him out. How do we respond to truth? And Stephen was heard saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." So a better way would be opening the heart, would be opening the mind, and we cry out unto God with our voices. God wants obedience. He wants obedience. In Exodus 19:4, he says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. If ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant." Two things. If ye will. There is the invitation. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then shall you be my peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He said, if you've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you out on eagle's wings. He's still carrying us on eagle wings. And if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, he wants us to be his peculiar people, his treasure above all people, for all the earth is mine. God delivered us from condemnation, not just to escape hell or to qualify you for heaven, but he delivered you so that he can have a relationship with you. And that through you, he can fulfill the mission of redeeming the lost world. Again, I repeat, he didn't deliver us out of condemnation to just escape hell or to qualify us for heaven. But he wants a relationship with each one of us. And through that relationship, he can carry out the mission to redeem a lost world. You know, in David, in the repentant psalm of Psalm 51, David was, he made a lot of mistakes. He was a man of war. He said the Lord taught his fingers to fight, to war. But in Psalm 51 is his repentant psalm. Read it, study it, make it your own. Here David says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." He said, and that's where he continued to cry out to God, "Use your brush and scrub me. Use hyssop and cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, O God." But here he said, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I'm going to touch some on Isaiah 28. Take the time at home to read Isaiah 28. Here Isaiah was writing, to the proud and the drunkards of Ephraim. What does pride and drinking have in common? Pride and drinking have the common denominator. It distorts our ability for accurate thinking. It distorts our ability to think accurately, soberly. Here he said that he was talking to Israel, and they were arrogant. Israel had fallen. But these people said that we have made a covenant with hell and an agreement with death. Sounds very cold-hearted. Whoever could think that they could have an agreement with death and a covenant with hell. But, you know, thinking of people living for self, people that are avoiding truth, are pushing truth away, and thinking that, you know, today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity time. And when people think that I can live like I want to, and it's like they have an agreement with death. But the arrogance in that, he says, that they have hid under falsehoods, and they have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Hiding behind falsehoods brings fear. Truth shall set you free. Truth is absolute. It doesn't change. Hiding under falsehoods and making a refuge of lies, he then uses, down in verse 20, how ridiculous would it be for you adults, for any of us grown men and women, to sleep in a baby crib or use a baby blanket to try to keep yourself warm? Would it work? How ridiculous, right? But he says that's how it is to hide under falsehoods and to make lies our refuge. And it brought me to the picture of how Adam and Eve were trying to cover themselves after the sin. They used fig leaves to try to cover them themselves from the shame, from feeling exposed. So fear, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. That's what, if we have are hiding under falsehoods, it creates fear. The difference, notice the difference between that and truth. The truth shall set you free. The truth doesn't change. Isaiah then goes on, he says in verse 16, he says, "For therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. For he that believeth shall not make haste." He says, I have laid in Zion a foundation, a cornerstone, something that is solid, that is truth. That's that rock that doesn't change, that doesn't move. Judgment also will I lay on the line, and righteousness to the plummet. You know, there might be masons or block layers in here. And when you lay up a corner, you start a building, and you might put up a 2x4 frame, and then you hang a plumb bob off of that. So your corner is straight. Today they might have more technical ways of doing it. But also you run a string, you run a line. And he says, judgment will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. A judge does what? A judge works with truth. Supposed to. A judge works with truth. So he says, in my words, he says, truth will I lay to the line. And you can run, you can lay those blocks and make a nice straight row. And he says, if you go by truth and build on this sure foundation, he says that the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And how much better that is than fear. So I wrote down 25 different ways that people worked with truth. Adam and Eve disobeyed it. Noah's day, people rejected it. Abraham embraced it. Jacob lied about it. Joseph accepted it. Remember, they had lied about him trying to defile the people he was working with. But he accepted it. And what he did with truth gave him the opportunity to bloom where he was planted. Whether it was in prison, whether it was in serving other people, he was faithful where he was. He accepted it. Moses followed it. Pharaoh hardened his heart to it. Israel doubted it. Joshua trusted it. David tried to cover it up. Solomon stated facts about it. Jeremiah prophesied about it. Jehoiakim burned it. Ezekiel prepared us for it. Angels rejoiced in it. Shepherds talked about it. Herod tried to kill it. Mary pondered it in her heart. The wise men studied it and found it. Today you can still be a wise man. Saul persecuted it. Later Paul was changed by it. Truth will be the final judge. It will have the last word. It will last beyond heaven and earth. My word shall not pass away. It will last beyond heaven and earth. Heaven being the where the birds fly, the sun, moon, and stars. And truth sets you free. We'll also take an account. There are times when truth is difficult to deal with. And here I want to look in 2 Samuel 14. And this is the account where Amnon had defiled his sister Tamar. These were David's sons, Absalom and Amnon. And Amnon defiled his sister Tamar, and it angered Absalom. And David had a responsibility. David knew what was going on. His anger was kindled. But he didn't deal with it. He tried to avoid truth. Friends, there's times when we wish things would take care of themselves. And we can so-called stick our head in the sand. If you're praying about it, you're not sticking your head in the sand, because God is all powerful. But there comes a time when we need to take action. David did not want to deal with truth. For 2 whole years, I think Absalom was longing for David to do something about this. But his heart was comforted about, I'm ahead of the story. So Absalom called a gathering with his brothers. They were shearing sheep, and Absalom invited all his family. And David said, we can't all come. There's way too many people for us to show up here. Let just a few of them come. So Absalom said, make sure Abnon comes. And he told his men that when he gives the word, they are to kill Abnon. Because of the anger, righteous indignation, maybe, I don't know, it was out of hand. He took judgment into his own hands. And Absalom had his half-brother killed. Now the rest of the brothers go home to David. And Absalom flees to his uncle's place in a distant country. For 3 years, there's silence between father and son. There's no relationship. If we avoid truth, it hinders relationships. And especially with our Heavenly Father. As Absalom was going crazy, I guess I could say, that he wanted that relationship with his father, he sent messengers to Joab a couple times that he wants to see his father David. And it was avoided. Nothing was done. Finally, in desperation, after 3 years, he told his servants, he said, I have a field of barley over here beside Joab's. Joab has a field of barley over here beside mine. He says, go light that barley field. And he did. They did. And happened exactly what he was hoping. Joab shows up and wondered what was going on. And he said, this is what Absalom said. He said, take me home to my father. If I have done something that he wants to kill me, let him kill me. But take me home. You cannot build walls high enough to separate families. It's the strongest pull of any humankind. And here, they brought Absalom back. But instead of taking him into David, David said, let him go into this other place and let him not see my face. And for another 2 whole years, father and son did not meet each other. They were avoiding truth. Finally, when they did meet, David had already lost Absalom's heart. And through that, he stole the kingdom. And what a terrible battle, what a terrible end. Father and son were fighting each other, and Absalom lost his life. And another thing that happened out of that was, after Joab was asked, David had told them, deal kindly, deal softly with Absalom. But his life was taken in battle. And David responded in a way that shamed his army, his people. And Joab, his whole army came back with their tails pinched between their legs. They came back shivering, shaking with discouragement And David was crying, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom." But friends, if he would have dealt with truth 5 years ago, he wouldn't have been at this spot. Truth sometimes is difficult to deal with. Another truth in Malachi chapter 3 and 4 is you cannot give God your second best. God wants your best. You can't give God your trash and think he'll be pleased with it. God, in the Old Testament, he wanted the first fruits. He wants your first minutes of the day. God wants your first fruits. He wants your best. And he was people that Malachi was writing to there, they were saying that this sacrificing is a weariness to them. And he reminded them, it's because you're giving the lame, the wounded, and you're bringing your trash to sacrifice to God, your second best. And he reminded him, he says, try giving this stuff to your governor. See if he's going to be pleased with it. And he reminds them, you cannot give God your second best or your things you don't need, your leftovers, and think that you'll be blessed. God wants your best. That is the truth. And God wants to bless us. And he reminded them. He said, bring your tithe into the storehouses. He was reminding them, bring your best, your first fruits, and that there be not room enough to receive it. And God will open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room enough to receive it. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. There is that word, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. What you do with truth will change you. Truth will always stand. Truth will prevail. So as we look into the Word of God, it doesn't change. There is no shadow of turning in him. What he says in his Word, that's what we would be judged by. And so if we make that application, if this is going to be, like John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Each morning as you open truth, you're actually reading and looking at God. And we can have the assurance that there's not going to be we can get to judgment. And truth, God will be a righteous judge. So let's take courage in that. We can, with confidence, God is not the author of confusion, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our great God in heaven, we thank you this morning for giving us your truth. Thank you for giving us your word, which will last longer than heaven and earth. And Father, we can build on this truth. You have laid judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And so, Father, help us understand, as we need wisdom. You have promised, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and abradeth not. So, Father, we thank you for giving us your presence here this morning. We need it at all times, not just today, but every day of our life, that your truth could change us and make us more like you, that we can, like Stephen, as we were taught this morning, that we can not sidestep or go around truth, but that we can carry this in our hearts, in our minds. You have given us this opportunity to memorize, to make this truth a part of our lives. And so, Father, help us in this. Bless this community that we can, that they can be a salt of the earth, a light to the world, wherever we go, wherever we are. That your church could be built, and sinners could be warned. And Lord, help us that we would be anchored on the solid rock. We pray your blessing upon our fellowship. Guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen.